I'm going to ask you to head back with me to the book of Jonah. And we've been spending some time there. And of course, we're going to spend some more time this morning looking at another theme that runs throughout this book. And especially through the first two chapters of Jonah, just like we considered last Sunday. One of the things I enjoy doing as a boy, and really even now as an adult, is to read books and stories about Christian missionaries. And I know in our library back there, we have a number of biographies of missionaries and other people that have served the Lord in a full-time fashion. But when you read those books and you read those stories and their biographies, some of them autobiographies, they're very exciting. You read about Christian missionaries like J. Hudson Taylor, who you may know went to China back in the 1800s and even lived like the Chinese, dressed up like the Chinese, even had the little ponytail like the Chinese in order to reach them for Jesus Christ. Or Adoniram Judson, who is the first American missionary and went to share the gospel to the people of Burma and even experienced great personal tragedy and loss. Or even more recent missionaries like Nate Saint or Jim Elliott, who were killed in their quest to bring the gospel to a hard-to-reach tribe of Indians in Ecuador back in the 1950s. And really, you could go on and on. And maybe you have some stories of missionaries that you have read and that you appreciate and you remember. But as a boy, I remembered reading those. And I enjoyed those books because they were filled with action and adventure. And what boy doesn't like action and adventure? But this was not the kind of action and adventure that would lead to death. But it was the kind of action and adventure that would bring about life. Because these missionaries would go to places and go to people where it's very dangerous in order to bring the life-giving and the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we're back in the book of Jonah again this morning, I want you to know that the book of Jonah is one of those kinds of books. It's a missionary book. A missionary book like no other. Because it's not just describing the mission of one of the missionaries like Hudson Taylor or Adoniram Judson or even Nate Saint and Jim Elliott. But rather, it's a missionary book filled with the action and adventure of God Himself, who is the greatest missionary of all time. You see, it's not so much about Jonah as a missionary, because we saw what kind of missionary he was. He was one that didn't want to go. He didn't want to rise up. He didn't want to share the gospel with the people of Nineveh. But that's why Jonah really is more of a book about God Himself and the mission of God and how God is, in fact, the greatest missionary. In this book of Jonah, we don't just learn about Jonah, though we have, and we also see a lot about ourselves in Jonah, but we also learn a lot about God. And we learn a lot about His heart for others. And we even see His reach out to others. So this morning I want us to look together at the reach of God. This is a theme that you see all throughout the book of Jonah, and especially in those first two chapters. Because even though Jonah thought he could flee from the presence of God and got on that ship to Tarshish, the fact is he couldn't. Because the reach of God extends everywhere. And in Jonah, we're going to see how far God's reach really does extend. First, I'd like us to see how far the Lord's reach really is. How far the Lord's reach is. And the fact is, the Lord's reach can go very, very far. And we see this at the very outset in His reach to the Ninevites. The people of that great land, that great city of Nineveh, that was wicked before God. Let's go back to the beginning of Jonah chapter 1 and read verses 1 and 2 again. Where again we are introduced not only to Jonah, but especially to the Lord in His mission. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Why? For their wickedness is come up before me." Now Nineveh was a far place. It was far from where Jonah was. It was probably about 600 miles from where Jonah was located, if he was in or near Jerusalem. And although 600 miles is nothing today, it doesn't seem like very far today, it would have taken them weeks to get from Jerusalem all the way to Nineveh if they even wanted to go that way. But it wasn't just the distance and the mileage that made Nineveh so far from Israel. It was really the kind of place that Nineveh was. God Himself said that it was a wicked city. Again, look at verse 2. Their wickedness, God says, is come up before me. And so when God comes to Jonah and says, Jonah, I want you to go there. Go to this place about 600 miles away. To Jonah, Nineveh would have felt very, very far. Far from his own home, far from his own people that he was comfortable with, and really, far from his own God. And at least from Jonah's point of view, those Ninevites were too far away to be reached by God. And unfortunately, too many Christians feel that way about where God has called us to the uttermost parts of the earth. And sometimes we think, well, they are too far for us to reach with the gospel. Well, to Jonah, they were too far really away to be reached by him. In our Good News Clubs, we were talking about places where God can go and share the gospel. And I was asking for different countries. And of course, when you're talking to younger elementary students, they don't just give you countries. They give you cities, they give you regions. Like I asked for countries, they gave me Italy, they gave me New York, they gave me the South, and one of them gave me Antarctica. And I said, that's a continent. But you know what? God can reach even to that cold place called Antarctica in the under part of this world. And that's the truth. But unfortunately, too many of us say, well, I can't be bothered to go there to reach them for God. But do you realize that Nineveh was not too far away to be reached by the Lord? It wasn't. It wasn't too far. It wasn't too far for the Lord to reach him with his pity and his grace on them for their sinful condition against him. And we see even more of his concern in the very last verse of the book of Jonah. Keep your finger there in chapter 1 and go over just a page or two and look at that last verse. Because remember this argument that Jonah is having with the Lord about whether or not he should have gone in the first place? And he's complaining to God, and God says in verse 11, Jonah, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? Do you realize the Lord was concerned enough for Nineveh to send Jonah to them? He had a great compassion on them. And he knew that Jonah knew the truth and then could share that truth with them if he would only go. And what we learn from this compassion on Nineveh is that there is no place on earth where the Lord cannot reach with His pity and His grace. No place. There's no place that you can go because the Lord's reach can go very, very far. Not even just to Nineveh. It's to the whole world. Look at how far God sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, in order to rescue us from our sin. Where did Jesus come from? Heaven. And look how far He came to earth. Why? To show you and to show me His pity and His grace because of our condition of sin. In fact, in John chapter 8, verses 38 through 40, Jesus said this, "For I came down from heaven." Jesus came down from heaven. Why? "Not to do my own will," Jesus said, "but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." I want you to know this morning the Lord's reach can go very, very far. It can go as far as the city of Nineveh. And it can go as far from heaven to earth in order to rescue even a single sinner. And unlike Jonah, Jesus was willing to go. And He was willing to serve His Father and do His Father's will. The Lord's reach can go very, very far. But next, I also want you to see with me how wide the Lord's reach is. How wide His reach is. And the Lord's reach is very, very wide. And we see this not just in His reach out to Nineveh, but even to those sailors on that ship that Jonah embarked to take him to Tarshish. If you go back with me to chapter 1, we are introduced to these sailors who at first really are just a sidelight in this passage. But then we notice that God has a mission for them too. Jonah chapter 1 verse 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish. He didn't want to obey God. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. So he fled. He fled unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down," where? "To Joppa, that port city along the Mediterranean. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid that fare thereof. He went down into the ship to go with them," those sailors, "from the presence of the Lord there unto Tarshish." Do you know that that ship that was found by Jonah going to the city of Tarshish was filled with sailors? Sailors. And all these sailors were there in Joppa, which is closer to Israel than Nineveh was. Nineveh was some 600 miles away. And yet Joppa was just a few miles away from Jerusalem. So these sailors may have known about the God of Israel. They may have known about the temple in Jerusalem. They may have even heard about Jonah as being a prophet of God among his own people. But even though they were closer to God there in Joppa, they were still very far from the Lord. Because when God sent that great storm after Jonah in verse 5, it tells us that the mariners, those sailors, were afraid and they cried every man, not unto the true God. Who did they cry out to? Every man, his God. They all had their own God that they were clinging to and claiming and they were praying to in order to rescue them from that storm. And so what we find on that ship that Jonah went to is that there were many sailors on that ship. Those sailors probably came from many different places around the Mediterranean Sea, and they all worshipped and prayed to many different gods. And from the standpoint of Jonah, what a mission field! And yet, they were lost to Jonah. They were lost, and Jonah didn't think that he could share the truth with them because he was running away from the truth, remember, of God's own presence. But I want you to know that even those sailors were not so lost that they could not be reached by the Lord and by His peace. The peace that only God could give them in their time of need. And those sailors actually became unwitting participants in God's divine plan for His prophet. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know why that storm came. They didn't know at first that Jonah was the problem. But ultimately, even though Jonah was running from God in disobedience, it didn't take God by surprise. God was in control. And God, in His providence, directed Jonah to that specific port there in Joppa. There were other ports there in Israel that he could have gone to, but no, God wanted him to go to Joppa. And also, God directed Jonah, even in his state of disobedience, to that specific ship where those specific sailors were, so that God could reach them too. And I want you to look at the result of God's wide reach, even to those many sailors on that ship. Because while the storm was raging, look at verse 14 of chapter 1. It says that they cried unto who? The Lord. They stopped crying out to their own gods, and now they are crying out to the true Lord and said, "We beseech Thee, O Lord, we beseech Thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For Thou, O Lord, Thou hast done as it pleased Thee." So they took the recommendation of Jonah. They took him up and they cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. God gave them the peace that they needed and the peace from that storm. And then look at verse 16. This is the result. Then the men feared the Lord. They didn't fear their own gods anymore. They feared the one true God, the Lord, exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto Him and made vows. All of those sailors, every one of them, with all of their different backgrounds, with their different peoples, with their different religions, their different sins, and even their different gods, it says here that they all turned to the one true God. How? In prayer. They said, "We beseech Thee, O Lord. We beseech Thee." No longer it was to their own gods, it was to the true God. They turned to Him in worship. They offered a sacrifice there on the ship for Him. And they even turn to Him with a new commitment as their Lord and as their God. In verse 16, it says that they made vows to Him. What a change took place. And once again, it shows that there is no person on earth to whom the Lord cannot reach with His peace. Because the Lord's reach is very, very wide. You know, we've been learning at our Good News Clubs to memorize John 3:16. Now you might think, well, why are you teaching them that? That is so simple of a verse. But do you realize there had to be a time in your life when you didn't know John 3:16? And I even asked that question to both of our clubs at Harrison Elementary. I said, who knows John 3:16? About half of them raised their hand and the other half didn't. There had to come a time in your life when you learned John 3:16. But unfortunately now it just becomes so trite and so simple in our minds. But do you realize that John 3:16 is one of the most powerful lessons that shows how wide God's love is? And how wide God's reach is. Again, think about John 3:16 as I read it. For God so loved the world. It wasn't just the people of Nineveh. It wasn't just the people in Israel. It was all of those sailors. And it was all those in this world. And it brought the Lord to this point that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever, it doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter your race, it doesn't matter where you live, it doesn't matter who you have as your family member, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that teaches, as well as the lesson here in Jonah, that the Lord's reach is very, very wide. Just like Fanny Crosby once wrote, O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. That is how wide God's reach is. It was wide enough to reach out to a man named Paul, who, previous to his salvation, was named Saul. And he was a murderer of Christians. And to the day of his death, he could not get over what he did to the church of God. And yet God, in the wideness of His mercy, and the wideness of His love, and the wideness of His grace, reached out and called that man to be His apostle. And then sent him all throughout the world with that same message, that God's grace and mercy can be to all people. That is how wide God's reach is. But we also see in these chapters of Jonah how high the Lord's reach is. The Lord's reach extends very, very high. We see that His reach even extends to the sky. Again, look at verse 4 of Jonah chapter 1. As God was going after Jonah, what did He send? He sent a storm. Verse 4. But the Lord, even as Jonah is fleeing from His presence, or so he thought, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. We find that God sent a great wind, and that wind created a mighty tempest. And that wind and those waves were so powerful that even a ship, as strong as a ship of Tarshish, could be broken up. In history, those ships of Tarshish were well known. They were known as strong ships that could weather storms like the ones that they would face in the Mediterranean. But this particular ship that was on its way to Tarshish was like to be broken. Why? Because of what God sent after it. Now, we're not exactly sure when God sent this great wind after Jonah. It might have just been a few moments after they took off into the sea. It could have been even a day or two. We're not exactly sure, but imagine if the day was clear and sunny and calm like today when Jonah first put his foot on the deck of that ship. And he probably thought to himself, all right, all is well so far. I'm on my way. God hasn't done anything to stop me right now. My mission is accomplished, which of course wasn't God's mission. His mission was to get away from God's presence. To get away from God's purpose for him. But whenever it was, after Jonah went below deck to get some sleep, what happened to the weather? It changed. It changed drastically and dangerously. But the fact is, neither the heavens nor even the wind were too high to be reached by God. God used the wind. God used the waves in order to display His power. And He used that power to get the attention not just of His wayward prophet Jonah. He used the power of that wind to get the attention of everyone who is on that ship. Like David says in Psalm 104, verses 1 through 3, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover yourself with light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a curtain. You lay the beams of your chambers in the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. And you walk upon the wings of the wind." Even the wind in the skies are not outside the reach of God. You see, there is nowhere in heaven and there is nowhere in earth where the Lord cannot reach with His power. Because His power can go very, very high. And do you know that the Lord can and sometimes will move heaven and earth to get the attention of even just one individual? Just like He did to Jonah, He has done it to others as well. Perhaps you remember the story of Martin Luther. Martin Luther, of course, the great reformer. October 31st, had that a few days ago, shouldn't only be known for trick-or-treating, even though that's kind of been what it's about. It should also be known for the beginning of the Reformation, when way back in 1517, 500 years ago, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Roman Catholic Church there in Wittenberg, Germany. How did God first get Martin Luther's attention? It was through a storm. It was through a thunderstorm. And it was through a lightning bolt that struck not too far from where he stood. And that natural occurrence, or supernatural occurrence really, God used to start Martin Luther's journey to the truth of the gospel, which literally changed the world and brought the gospel to so many people, including people in our own land. I want you to know that God demonstrates His power to save to all of us, not just through lives and testimonies like Martin Luther, but primarily through Jesus Himself. Jesus Himself showed that nothing was too high for His reach as well. You might remember the story there in Mark where Jesus was on a ship, much like how Jonah was on a ship. And Jesus was sleeping on this ship, much like Jonah was sleeping in the ship, for the different reasons, of course. But then there was a great storm. They woke Him up and said, "Master, don't you care that we're perishing? We're going to die from this great storm." And all Jesus had to do to calm that mighty wind and that troubled sea was to speak His word. And what did He say? "Peace, be still." And you know what happened? The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And in Mark 4:41, it records the reaction of His disciples. It says that they feared exceedingly. And they said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" Do you know if the Lord's power can reach as high as the heavens, to send a great wind and even to stop a great storm, the Lord's power can reach to anyone in any place in this world to save lives, to save souls, and to sustain His people. The Lord's reach can go very, very high. But I also want you to know that His reach can extend the other way. Look at how deep the Lord's reach is in Jonah. The Lord's reach can also go very, very deep. And we see this reach to the great fish that God sent to rescue Jonah from drowning there in the Mediterranean Sea. Look at verse 17 of Jonah chapter 1. "Even after Jonah was tossed overboard by the sailors, and God brings about a peace from that storm to them, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights." God could reach even to the deepest parts of that Mediterranean Sea in order to provide just the right vehicle to deliver Jonah from his watery grave. And if you remember what we learned about that fish when we looked at Jonah 1:17 a few weeks ago, everything about that fish was amazingly just right. And the world will see this and think it's a fairy tale, it's a fable, but this is a fact and it is truth. And it's amazing because it's a miracle. God did this. You see, this fish had to be the right kind of fish. It had to be great and large enough to swallow Jonah and then hold him safely in his belly for 3 days and three nights. That fish had to be in the right place and at the right time in order to rescue Jonah from his death. And what we learn from this fish is that there is no place too deep that the Lord cannot reach with His provision, with what He provides to save people, including Jonah. To save and to help in time of need. But not just Jonah, but you and me as well. In fact, I want you to think about how deep the Lord Jesus even had to go to provide the salvation that you need and I needed from our sin. Some familiar verses. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And do you realize that Jesus went even deeper than that? When his own dead body was buried in a tomb that was carved into the earth. Jesus didn't do that for his own sin because he did no sin. Jesus did that for your sin and for my sin, and to provide everything, everything that you and I need for salvation from our sin. And what we learn from this fish is that the Lord's reach is very, very deep. There is nothing out of his reach. There is no one that is so deep in their sin that they cannot be reached by the grace and the provision of God. His reach is very, very deep. But then last, I also want us to see not only where God can reach, but also at how quick the Lord's reach is. And the Lord's reach can be very, very quick. We can see how fast His reach can be when He reaches out to save Jonah at the last possible moment of his life. Look over to chapter 2, which we spent some time looking at here, his prayer poem to the Lord. Now we have to remember that he is praying in the belly of the fish, but he's remembering what happened to him while he was sinking into the bottom of the sea. And in chapter 2, verse 6, in Jonah's prayer, he remembers what it was like. And look at verse 6. He says, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever." It was like a prison to him. He was so far deep in the sea that there was no chance that he could get out. I remember as a boy, my aunt and uncle who lived up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, had an in-ground pool. And I would like to say that I enjoyed going to visit my aunt and uncle because they were my aunt and uncle, but I think I really enjoyed going to visit them because of their in-ground pool. And during those summer months, it was hot up there, and we would go swimming. And sometimes, as a boy, we'd go in the deep end, and I would go down as far as I could, and sometimes I wouldn't take the breath that I needed to take. And so we know what it's like when there's water around, and you're trying to take that next breath, and you see the light at the top. And you wonder if you're going to make it to the top. Thankfully, I did, but then you get that gasp of air. You see, Jonah didn't even have that opportunity, that luxury. It was so dark where he was. And he realized that even if he pushed with all his might from the bottom of that sea, there was no way, no chance that he could reach the top. There's no way he could get that extra gulp of air. But what happened in verse 6? He says, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. I was about to die. Yet," he says to the Lord, "hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God." It was about over for Jonah. But it seems from this prayer that at the last possible moment, It could have been even at his last breath that God reached out to save Jonah, and he did it quickly and suddenly with a gulp of a fish. Here, Jonah was saved as a brand plucked out of the fire. Jonah was saved from that watery grave just in the nick of time. And I want you to know that that is just how quickly the Lord can reach you and reach anyone with His pardon to rescue us. Not just from death, but rather to redeem us from our sin. I want you to think with me about those thieves. Those two thieves that were on the two crosses right next to Jesus as He was dying. Those thieves had lived their lives as sinners, just like we have lived our lives as sinners. The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But they lived as rebels against God's law and even the laws of men. They had been arrested and they were suffering the just penalty for their crimes against the Roman government and the people that they lived among. And it seemed like it was over for them, just like it was over for Jonah. But yet one of those thieves was touched by God to believe and trust in the one who is dying on the cross right next to him. And in Mark chapter 23, listen to what that thief said to the other thief. In Mark 23, verse 40. Because the other thief was kind of mocking the Lord Jesus. He was ridiculing, saying, "Hey, if you can save us, save yourself and then get us off these crosses too." But that one thief that the Lord had touched, that the Lord had reached down to, says, "Don't you fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man, Jesus, he hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was that quick. It was that quick that the Lord was able to reach and save that thief on the cross. How many people have we heard, and how many people have you known, that may have lived their lives, their entire lives, as sinners and rebels against God? And yet at the last possible moment of their life, God was able to reach them and show them their need of Him. And they repented of their sin and they believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and they were saved. And that shows how quick it can happen, how quick God could reach them. It was that quickly that the Lord was able to reach and save that thief on the cross. And I want you to know that the Lord's reach is very, very quick to anyone who calls out to Him, even when it seems like it is at the last possible moment of their life. I remember hearing the story of my own grandfather, who died when I was in high school. It was the first really close person to me who passed away. And it was a struggle for me, mentally and emotionally and even spiritually. I didn't know my grandfather that well, and I certainly didn't know whether he knew the Lord. But I remember hearing my aunt tell me the story that when she was up there, who is a believer, who has been here, you know her, she said that just a few days before he passed away, she asked him about his soul's condition. And he had a little New Testament in his hand. She didn't realize this, and he held it up and he said, "I'm okay and I'm ready." The last possible moment. And that is how quick salvation can come to someone who calls on the name of the Lord. It is so quick. Just like Jonah was rescued when it seemed like he was about to drown. Just like those sailors were saved when it seemed like they were about to sink. Just like those Ninevites were even delivered, which we'll see later on in this book, when it seemed like they were just about to receive the judgment of God for their sin, God reached out to them. And they were saved. And that is just what the reach of God is like, as we see in the book of Jonah. It's an amazing thing. The reach of God is very, very far. The reach of God is very, very wide. It is very high and very deep, and it is very, very quick. And God can reach anyone with His mercy and His grace, with His peace and His power, with His provision and His pardon through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not think that you are too far away from the reach of God. Never think that. And do not think either that others are too far away to be reached by God. Instead, be a missionary. Be a missionary as God called Jonah to be. If you look back at chapter 1, these were the words that God initially gave to Jonah. He said in verse 2, "Arise, go, and cry." Those are a call to people to be missionaries and to give God's love to people who need it and the salvation that He offers. And that tells us about a God who is never out of reach. He's never out of reach. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to the most defiled, by its transforming power, making Him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. And the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me, and it reaches you. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You again for the privilege of seeing how far, how wide, how high, how deep, and how quick Your reach truly is. It's a message that we can see from the book of Jonah if we just take a moment to step back and see what You were doing through Jonah all along. You were reaching out to the Ninevites. You were reaching out to those sailors. And You were reaching out even to Jonah. And by recording this in Your Word, You are reaching out to each one of us today. I pray, O Lord, that You will help us to see Your reach. And that we will remember that we are never outside of Your reach. If we but would call upon You, if we would but listen to You and believe on You. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here who thinks that perhaps their sins have brought them too far from the reach of God, that they will look at this message from the book of Jonah and realize that God is the greatest missionary that is reaching out to them. That You are reaching to them, that most defiled one, to save them, to bring them to repentance, turning from themselves and their sin and turning unto Christ who can save them, the only one who can save them. And I pray, O Lord, that You would do so even today. But Lord, I know that there are believers here, most of us who have been reached by You, have been touched by You, have been given salvation freely. And we know how far You can reach. And we know how wide Your reach is. We know how high and how deep it is. And we even know how quick Your reach is. And yet, once again, we are living our lives like Jonah. And we feel like this person or these people or this country or this class, they are too far. Too far away for God to reach them. And so we neglect to obey the word that You've given us to arise and go and to cry to them of the grace and mercy of Christ. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for not having that same reach or even that same desire to reach as You do. And I pray, O Lord, that today would be that day of revival in our heart, that we might long to reach out to others with the gospel because we know where they are. Because that's where we've been. And if You can reach to a sinner like me, we know that You can reach to other sinners as well. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. And I pray, O Lord, that we will see this book as the greatest missionary book that we have ever read. Because it doesn't just tell us about a missionary by the name of Jonah, but a missionary who is God. Thank You, Lord, that no one is too far from Your reach. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.